You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We have football tonight, or at least a reasonable facsimile. It's the Steelers and the Patriots, and you throw out the records when they get together. A matchup of two future Hall of Fame coaches. Also, Mitchell Trubisky and Bailey Zappi. The Steelers are giving 6 to the Patriots. The over-under, the lowest since 1993 at 30 points. And by the way, our gambling podcast, Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble, later on today, Shea and Irving, Bad Lair, Dylan the Graphics Guy, and that'll be available at danpatrick.com. Make sure you pick up the latest batch of Tailgate Moonshine. It's peppermint bark, just in time for the holidays. Delish at danpatrick.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Still waiting for the Shohei Ohtani news, and I'm told tomorrow, more likely, with Shohei Ohtani news. Now, I wouldn't give any other indication, not team-wise, money-wise, just timing-wise, more likely tomorrow. We'll check in with the great baseball reporter, John Morosi of the MLB Network, coming up in a little bit. Yes, Marvin?
And remember, tomorrow, our music theme, music acts from the city that you think Shohei's going to.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So I'm picking San Francisco. I already have my musical group. Got it. Now, that I had a lot to choose from the Bay Area, but I already got mine. But everybody has to, wherever you think he's going. Of course, if it's back to the Angels and Orange County music, maybe it's Sublime or Gwen Stefani. Yes, Paul.
San Francisco has a lot.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I, want to hit a couple of the heavyweights? Sly and the Family Stone, Steve Miller Band, Santana, Metallica. I had no idea Metallica was up there.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Journey. Dead Kennedy Seton.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Let's go. Okay.
Huey Lewis, you love Huey.
And the news.
You love the news.
And the news. I do love the news with Huey.
Jeez.
Yeah. So if he goes back to Anaheim, then you got to pick an Orange County band there. Is Blink 182, are they Orange County, Seton?
No, I think they're San Diego.
San Diego.
San Diego.
Okay.
I think Sublime, Los Angeles County.
Oh, okay.
Los Angeles County, very upset for suggesting that Sublime would be from Orange County.
My bad.
Very upset.
Sorry. Sorry.
Okay, real big fish? Sure. Orange County all day, but how dare you say Sublime?
I need to stay in my lane. Need to stay in my lane.
Unusual amount of ska bands from that area.
Okay. We've also been following this other story. We've talked about the Jets situation, and Zach Wilson's going to play, and everything's good. Zach Wilson is going to start, and apparently the organization moves on with Zach Wilson as they will face the Texans. And then the other situation, I have to report that there's a lot of turmoil. It's rough waters there, Carolina Panthers, with what's going on, described as Hunger Games. And David Tepper, the owner, Panthers owner, what's going on? Backstabbing, stuff behind people's back. And Joseph Person, Joe covers the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic. He was part of this expose on the Carolina Panthers. Kind enough to join us. By the way, there's a press conference at the stadium in Carolina, 11:25 Eastern. So Joe is en route to that. Sum up your article about the dysfunction of the Carolina Panthers, Joe.
So, Dan, really at root of this, was on the offensive side of the building. And David Tepper, if you remember, they had Matt Rhule. One of the criticisms of Matt Rhule was that he had a staff full of kind of his guys he'd work with on the college side. And so when Tepper hires Frank Reich last January, they made a big deal about diversity of thought, and not just kind of hiring people in Frank's circle. And so they did that. David Tepper spent a lot of money. They went out and got Thomas Brown from the Rams to be the offensive coordinator. They got Deuce Staley. They got Josh McCown, who, as you know, had interviewed for the Texans head coaching job previously. Problem is, some of these guys had never worked together and had never worked with Frank. And I think when things started getting bad, when they weren't winning, and when Bryce Young's development was seemingly stagnating a bit, and the offense was bad, then I think there weren't those built-in loyalties, and there were some factions that formed on the offensive side in the offensive staff room. And, you know, we saw a little bit of that publicly when Frank Reich took back over, reclaimed the play calling duties from Thomas Brown, the OC. And but come to find out, there's quite a bit behind the scenes going on, too.
How involved is David Tepper with actually game plan, play calling? I mean, are we that deep into, the system here as the owner?
No, I'm glad you asked that. I mean, he's very hands-on owner. Obviously, he and his wife, Nicole, went on all the pro day visits or the quarterback pro days when they were clearly going to take either Bryce or CJ or Anthony Richardson. They were there. They're hands-on to that level. But what he's not in there watching film.
Okay.
I think after Scott Fitter, the GM, had talked to Frank Reich about that, they felt, some in the building felt, that Bryce was not getting deep enough in his pass sets. And that was the problem, the root of a lot of the protection issues. He just wasn't quite deep enough. So after Fitter had talked to Reich about that, I don't know if they felt it still wasn't getting fixed. But then there was a group that did go talk to Tepper and got him involved at that level. But no, it's not like Tepper's watching film and calling, Frank Reich and others with play tips. But certainly a very involved owner, and some would say too involved in some cases.
What do you think the reaction is going to be with your article when you go into the facility today in this press conference coming up in about 20 minutes?
Yeah, so I was out here yesterday, and I'm sure that people didn't love it, but I've also had, heard from other people that's like, oh yeah, that's accurate. This is, and I think, in fairness, Dan, I think a lot of this goes on in a lot of NFL buildings when you're 1-10 or you're 1-11. Now is 1-10 when Frank got fired. I think just what accentuated this case is, as I mentioned, there weren't there were guys who'd worked together here, but then another group that had not. And I just don't think there were those loyalties, those built-in loyalties and the trust. And so when things got bad, as I mentioned, guys were looking out for themselves and their next job and their reputation.
Yeah.
And, and Tepper clearly was getting agitated, not even really by that. He was ticked because the mortgaging of the future that they made to trade up with Chicago for number one, and he was watching Bryce Young go out there every week and get sacked and get hit, and they were putting up like 10 points and losing, game after game, including some to some not real good teams.
Do you get a specified seat? Are you up front? Do you want to sit up front today, Joe?
This is like, first of all, this was a previously, we should mention that this was not like a hastily called press conference where this is the offense coordinator, Thomas Brown. We meet with him every Thursday at this time. When I put my name on a story, and that was a co-byline with Diana Rossini, and I know she feels the same way, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there, and if anyone's got an issue, we'll talk about it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm like being confrontational, but I'm going to make myself available. If people have issues, let's hear them.
I love it. All right, play nice today, there, Joseph, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Dan.
All right, that's Joe Person. He covers Carolina Panthers for The Athletic. Yeah, when the franchise is labeled Hunger Games, that's not good. Popular movie, but you don't want your franchise to be Lord of the Flies. No, not a good thing. Not a good thing. Couple of phone calls in here. And once again, we'll get an update, if there is an update, on Shohei Ohtani. That if nobody said anything, then Dave Roberts of the Dodgers said something, and now nobody's saying anything after that. Somebody's going to be saying something here real soon. Newton in Richmond. Hey, Newton, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking the call. So I've got a topic that I wanted to talk about real quick, but I wanted to side note that I really am disappointed that John Rahm is making the choice he's making, and he is the only one that I will actually miss. Him and Rory are my two favorites, and so I will miss him, but I never watch any of the Live Tour, and I don't miss any of those other guys.
Okay.
But you had made a comment earlier about the problems that the NFL is having with quarterbacks. And my curiosity is, you know, how many of these injuries are happening in the pocket versus out of the pocket? And I also have an opinion that some of it is, I just don't, when I watch the game, I'm 58, and I've been watching football fairly consistently since about 72 or 73. And it just seems to me that, like a lot of things, that the quarterback position has been dummied down quite a bit in the college ranks, and that there aren't as many prepared quarterbacks as there were when I was younger. And I think that we see fewer good, solid prospects in the draft by comparison to when I was younger. Now, I side with the idea that the athletic quarterback is more versatile and brings more to the team. But overall, has the position gotten any better as a result of that? Because when you think of people like Tom with New England, Tom Brady, and other quarterbacks who aren't as athletic but had just huge success, and it was more about their smarts and their abilities with their brain and understanding the coverages and how to be a pocket passer. And I'm wondering if those things combined.
Well, I think that these kids are going to camps when they're in junior high and high school. They're learning a spread offense. They're learning more quicker. And quarterbacks, when I was growing up, would sometimes sit 1 or 2 or 3 years before they got to play. These quarterbacks are being thrust in there right away. Well, you develop bad habits, you're on a bad team, and then we see bad quarterback play. I think it's systemic, because if I got the worst draft, or the number one pick because we were the worst team, I'm going to bring somebody in. I'm going to ask him to be a savior on a team that wasn't good to begin with. Well, how fair is that to the quarterback? And we've seen quarterbacks flame out because they're not in the right situation. We've seen quarterbacks who thrive because they're in the right situation. And I think that's because these quarterbacks come in and they're ready to play. Or at least they've been prepared to play, take over an offense, and they're being asked to start right away. Yes, Mark.
You say that a lot about David Carr.
Yeah.
I think you thought the offensive line ended up killing, you know, what he could have had as a career.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Tim Couch, Sam Darnold. I mean, you could run down the list of quarterbacks who were asked to go in, play right away, and they weren't ready. I mean, Bryce Young is not ready to play right now. But he's the number one overall pick. You need a savior. You got an owner who wants to win. We want people to come out, and we want them to forget about Christian McCaffrey. And then you watch him play. He's not ready to play. Yes, Mark.
Are they not ready, or do they just not have the players that they need to succeed?
Well, it's both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, blocking, skill position players. Even Mac Jones played well his rookie year, but regressed because he lacks confidence. The organization lacks confidence in him. He doesn't have skill position players, but you're asking him to go out there and manufacture something. If he was in a situation where he had weapons, could he be Brock Purdy? Probably so. That's why the Niners were interested in taking Mac Jones initially. I guess they were divided in their war room of Trey Lance or Mac Jones. They took Trey Lance. But I think that Kyle Shanahan thought very highly of Mac Jones. And then maybe you don't even have Brock Purdy in San Francisco. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. We'll check in on the winter baseball meetings. All quiet on the winter front. But for how long? We'll have that for you coming up next, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow,
you know,
I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories for 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Get ready for a real game changer. It's the best of the best of both worlds. Top players from the PGA and LPGA Tour partner up in a mixed team competition, the Grant Thornton Invitational. All quiet on the winter meetings front, at least with Shohei Ohtani. Let's bring in our buddy John Morosi, MLB Network insider. Continue coverage of the offseason news. Check out MLB Network's new documentary. It's on Hall of Famer George Brett tonight at 8 Eastern. All right, John, nobody said anything. Then Dave Roberts said something. Now nobody is saying anything. Where do we stand with what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do with Shohei Ohtani?
Dan, good morning. The rules of engagement on this one are pretty unique, to say the very least, my friend. It has been a surreal week in a lot of ways. Certainly, we had the big Juan Soto news last night, which I'm sure we'll get to later on. But it has been, as an insider, we, of course, pride ourselves on being able to get all the information and share it and get everything in real time as it happens. And I'll be honest, it's been tough. Shohei Ohtani is a very private person. We know that about him. He wants the free agency to proceed accordingly. But we're all here for this week, and we want to talk baseball. We want details, and it's been challenging. I also think that any notion, that Dave Roberts in any way erred by acknowledging that there was a meeting with Shohei Ohtani, to me, is absurd. Dave Roberts, first of all, he's one of the best people and best managers that we've got in the sport. And second of all, he just merely acknowledged something out of professional courtesy to all of us. And if the mere existence of a meeting and or acknowledging it is in some way a violation of the code of conduct, I'm just not sure where we go, Dan.
Well, I don't think it was accidental that he mentioned it. That was the only thing that stood out. It felt like he wanted people. I mean, he could have shook this off. The Dodgers GM did. So that's what I was just curious. That is Dave confident with Ohtani? I was trying to understand. Maybe, you know, I'm conspiracy theory and trying to read too much in it. But it did feel like Dave goes, hey, I want to be honest with you. If I had more questions, I'd say, well, Dave, while you're being honest with us,
right.
Where do you stand with this? When do you meet with him again? How much do you think it's going to cost to sign? I mean, I would ask a few other questions, but I wasn't there.
That's a great point, Dan. A couple things. Number one, I'm really privileged to be able to travel around the country a lot for MLB Network and work a lot of Major League Baseball showcase game telecasts. And Dave Roberts, I will say to you, is one of the most candid and honest and forthright managers that we deal with. And we deal with a lot of great ones. We are really fortunate to have a tremendous group of people that have this job across baseball that share insights into what they do every day. And even among that great group, Dave is among the best, if not the best, at doing it. And I think that's important context here, to where he is just a very honest and genuine person. That's number one. But number two, to your point, if I follow along the logic, and I think it's a very good point that you raise, if the Dodgers coaching staff, let's say, wished to convey that while they are excited to have him, they want to have him, they have gone out of their way, as Dave Roberts did, to praise him, that also they've got a pretty good thing going already. They've got a couple of future Hall of Famers by the names of Freeman and Betts who are in the lineup every day. They've got a future Hall of Famer in Kershaw who they expect to potentially have back at some point in time during the year. So if a person wanted to convey subtly to Shohei that certainly while he will be able to come in with some things that he wants to do a certain way, there are some things the Dodgers have done and will continue to do apart from him that will continue. That may have been a very subtle way of acknowledging the great culture and protocols that already exist with the Dodgers.
How many teams realistically are in play here?
I believe the final group, as it has been issued to say, you're welcome to have an in-person conversation, and putting it all together, the Dodgers, we know, have had an in-person meeting. The Blue Jays and Giants reportedly have as well. The Angels have not been eliminated yet either. And the Cubs have pushed back certainly against any notion that they've been eliminated. So I think we probably have a big five, to borrow the basketball term here. I think we've got a big five of teams that are still left. And I'll say, Dan, just being here in Nashville this week, I've still heard a lot about the Dodgers. They're still, in my mind, the favorites. But the team I've heard the second most is the Blue Jays. And I really believe Toronto has it may be a surprise here, but I think they have a compelling case to be made. They've got a beautiful state-of-the-art, Dan, one of the nicest sports facilities I have seen in my life of any sports, what they've got right now in Dunedin, Florida. And we know that Shohei visited there earlier this week to see for himself. So Shohei being a process-driven person, someone who's enamored with the concept of constantly improving and finding new ways to reach your potential. The Jays have built a place like that. And of course, we know Toronto is a world-class city in and of itself. Mm. If he wants to surprise people, and he always has been someone, Dan, who has surprised people, the Angels were a surprising pick. The mere role that he's always had in baseball is against the norm. He likes to surprise, and the Jays would be a surprise.
Oh, John Morosi, MLB Network Insider, joining us. Yeah, I find it fascinating, but I also, the price tag for him. And it's not my money, but watching others, if you're going to spend $500 million, $600 million, you don't even know you're getting if he's going to be a pitcher or not. Is there a way that, and maybe this would take a team out of this, but let's say you said, we're paying you $40 million to be a hitter, and we're going to give you $1 million for every start that you make as a pitcher.
That's a great question. There could be, and I would say this, you're certainly on the right track in the way that incentive clauses work in baseball contracts, because you can never incentivize wins or home runs, performance like that. That kind of performance is not put into contracts. But they do allow games played, starts, plate appearances, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's my belief, Dan, that the market for him is so robust that he'll probably be able to get everything fully guaranteed at the number that he wants to be without having to have these make good elements of the contract. And the big thing that I wonder, and Dan, where I think it gets incredibly frightening for some teams, is if there is the opt-out clause put in, which we have heard about so much as a way of giving the player leverage again. Well, if they do that, then the team assumes all the risk on what is an inherently risky endeavor. An 8-year contract, 10-year contract for a pitcher in and of itself is perilous based on all the actuarial tables that exist in baseball. But he's now had 2 Tommy John surgeries, Dan. And even when you look at pitchers who have remained relatively healthy through their careers, when you start to get towards their mid to late 30s, you can't really count on 200 innings anymore. And I think that ends up becoming an even greater concern for any team that were to sign Shohei Ohtani.
What did the Yankee-Padre trade signify for both of these organizations yesterday?
Dan, I actually love this trade for both teams. The Yankees had to get back, as my colleague Joel Sherman said, their identity. And this is a team, this is the team of Ruth and Gehrig and Maris and all these classic left-handed power hitters, Reggie Jackson. And yet they finished 2nd to the bottom in the American League this past year in home runs by lefties. It's almost impossible to believe that, Dan, but that's true. And so you needed to have that lefty slugger to balance the middle of the lineup with Judge. Obviously, they've already got the reigning Cy Young winner in Gerrit Cole, but they just did not have enough consistency and reliability with their lineup. It is, Dan, there is a really interesting part of this, which is perhaps we're going to now see Aaron Judge playing more and more center field, which is not the easiest position on your body. He can do it and actually likes it, but is it the best thing for him to be able to stay healthy in the long term? That's the Yankees' question after their own franchise contract that they gave Judge a year ago. And then for the Padres, certainly it is a pivot from a standpoint of their payroll. It's going to be lower. They tragically lost their owner, Peter Seidler, within the last couple months. I think it's a pivot for their franchise to a lower number and a different level of spending. But they believe, Dan, that they can still compete as long as Tatis and Machado and Bogarts have seasons like they've had in the past, and then they bring in a lot of pitching from the Yankees to fill out what's been a pretty thin rotation as the season has ended.
All right. We played the game yesterday with Ohtani, where he goes. We also did the price. Todd, you piggybacked mine. I said the San Francisco Giants. Seton, you said where Ohtani ends up?
Staying with the Angels.
All right. Marvin?
Dodgers.
All right. Paulie?
Dodgers, 565.
All right. So, John, not as a reporter, can you just be like John calling into the Dan Patrick Show?
Sure.
Where do you think Shohei Ohtani ends up?
John calling in from Michigan, friend of the show. I'm going to agree with Paulie. I'm going to say Dodgers at 565. I think that was a very, very good number, strong prediction. They're still the favorites until someone proves otherwise. But the team, again, that I think has the second best chance right now to get him is Toronto.
John in Michigan doesn't know anything if he's agreeing with you, Paulie.
Fair point.
Yeah. What is he doing? What is he doing? Good luck there, John. Thanks for joining us as always.
Thanks, Dan. Happy holidays to everybody. Thanks
you
so much.
You too. John Morosi, MLB Network Insider. They have the George Brett documentary tonight on MLB Network at 8 Eastern. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know if anybody has any idea. And I kind of like that nobody has any idea about this.
Right until it happens.
What about if
And then everybody knew.
Yes.
Well, I told you last week this was going
to
happen.
What if he goes back to the Angels? Like, are you at this point going, okay, we got to this point, now I want him to go someplace else? Or do you go, you know what, it's better for baseball if he goes back to the Angels? Which I don't know if it's better. It's better for baseball if we see him more often in bigger games. Then it's better for baseball. If he goes back, it's better for the Angels, I guess. You know, if you can validate spending that kind of money on him. But if you're Shohei Ohtani's agent, where do you want him to go? I have to figure marketing plays a role in this. It's not going to be New York, but it's going to be L.A., or it could be L.A. I keep hearing from people saying, don't count out Seattle. Like, okay, haven't heard about Seattle. I've heard about the other teams. Toronto is the interesting one. That seems to be the outlier where you're going, okay. Put him in that lineup. That's an international city. So I think you can kind of validate that I could see him there. It's just, we don't know. He's so private. He wouldn't even tell you his dog's name when he won the MVP.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what's your dog's name? I'm going to keep that quiet. I have to respect his privacy. Roof, roof. Yeah, yes, Eden.
This is why I think he's staying with the Angels.
Okay.
He doesn't have to go through all this stuff anymore. He's already done it. Everybody knows how this works. They're just going to be happy that he stayed. They're going to give him a bunch of money, and he gets to go on business as usual in a place that he's very comfortable.
Okay, but if this is where he wants to stay, then why do this? If he says, look, I'm willing to stay, I want this. You give me this price.
Your due diligence.
Yeah.
But
then you don't have to do the tour, and you know, it's just, I want to stay with the Angels. I want to stay with you. If you pay me $565, I'm staying here. Then you don't have to go to L.A. or Toronto or the Cubs or the Giants. Then you don't have to go through any of this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It feels like if he has a number, and unless he's saying, you know, it'd be crazy not to have these teams bid up the price, and then we take it back to the Angels. But if you don't want to go through this, you don't have to go through this. Yeah, Paul.
I always wonder if an agent in this situation asks Ohtani, which place will make you the most happy? Because if he answers the place that offers the least amount of money, as an agent, you don't want to hear that answer. Yeah. As an agent, my guess is an agent leans towards the biggest offer because then they get the next client off that offer. I always like to see how behind the scenes how agents would work in a situation.
Yeah, but I have to know my personality. That person. I have to know Ohtani. And there are certain players that didn't do well in New York. And their agents did them a disservice because, hey, they're paying you all this money, Ed Whitson. You'll get to love New York. Well, no, not necessarily the case. It's a different way of life. Just getting to the ballpark, that's work. Dealing with the media, fans. So that's where my agent has to know where I would be happiest. And that is, I start with not the money. You're going to get money. Now, you're familiar with this location. Or you have somebody, a former teammate is on this team. You like the direction. They're going to be a playoff contender for years to come. Or it might just come down to, you know, I don't need the big lights. I'm going to have it, but I don't need it every day. I have a comfortable life in Anaheim. Maybe it comes down to that. Maybe. But John did say that Anaheim's not out of it yet. So that's like you're kind of in, but are you really in? So, yeah, Paul.
I'm going to ask you this one. If you were in his shoes, if you're a baseball player, would the location matter from a lifestyle living standpoint? Because during the season, you're traveling all the time. Would the actual city you're in matter that much? In comparison to maybe an NFL player, you practice all the time. You're home much more often.
Well, half the season you're in that town, that city. I would say yes, it would matter. And then do you stay there in the off season? Certain players may play in a cold weather climate in football, and then in the off season they live in Vegas or Scottsdale. you know, Jokic goes home. You know, Luka probably. And I don't know if Luka goes home. But I would think that that would matter to me. Certainly baseball, because of the conditions, the weather. When you're playing in L.A., you get to play in that environment. Now you go on the road, but you always have Los Angeles to come back and play in that kind of climate. I think that that's really important. Instead of you're playing on the East Coast and you have to deal with the weather in April and May with Yankee Stadium and the Red Sox, then later in October when it gets a little icy, yeah, I think that would matter. Yes, yes, Marv.
If he stays with the Angels, he doesn't have to worry about October.
He does not. No, he does not. No. All right, let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learned, what's in store tomorrow. Make sure you pick up some peppermint moonshine available at danpatrick.com. We're back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DKHorse.com.
Miss the Strokes?
Yes.
Yeah. I was just listening to them yesterday. Man, they were a house on fire there when they started out. Was that Julian Casablancas?
Yeah. A big Mets fan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we learned, what's in store tomorrow. Todd, I don't know what's going on. It's not Friday. You're fired up. You're doing your stand-up act. You're singing.
You know
you're
what?
Yelling.
I'm telling you, it's the holidays. Tonight's the first night of Hanukkah. My kids are coming home next week. I'm in good spirits. Rob Gronkowski's coming on the show tomorrow. We've been having a lot of fun and laughs, and I hope we're all in a fun, good mood. I went to the urologist yesterday. I got a good report about my kidneys and bladder. Everything's coming up roses. What's the big deal?
Okay, good. Okay.
You should have led with that.
Let's all be happy, and this is a good time of year to be extra happy. Okay. And the medication's finally working. And Scene just covered up the glass with his soccer scarf.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
I think we're good.
I know, but I
finally got the meds right. It takes a while.
No, I would disagree with that.
I feel bad for the other people in the building because Todd keeps going around and he's got this stand-up act. And he'll go from room to room, and he just keeps
just
telling.
Trying a few things out. I sung the All in the Family theme song right before I did the scoreboard.
But those guys can't leave. Like, they're stuck here, and they have to listen to you.
Exactly. They can't walk out, and hopefully they won't boo and hiss. They have to deal with it.
All right. Rob Gronkowski will be on the show tomorrow. Last call for phone calls, what we learned. Chad in Wisconsin. Hi, Chad. What's on your mind? Hey, Chad. Thanks, Chad. Maria in Michigan. Hey, Maria.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm glad you took my call. I was surprised I was on, but I came in on the topic when you and Marvin were exchanging three-point shooters in the 90s versus a lot of them now. I didn't hear you mention, I wanted to add on to the list, Dennis Scott. He was a three-point shooter for the Orlando Magic. And, of course, Ray Allen at the beginning of his career with the Seattle Supersonics and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to love say. Dennis Scott. Yeah. 3D. Great name.
That good Magic team.
Yeah.
Early Shaq.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaq was only 280 pounds at that time.
Georgia Tech.
That's right.
Georgia Tech. They had some talent on that team.
Lethal Weapon 3.
He could He could shoot. One of the purest shooter. Him and Del Curry, Steph's dad. They were similar. They weren't jumpers. They were more of just a tippy toe or a set shot type of shooter. But Del Curry was a wonderful shooter. Not like his son, but...
Who is?
No, you're right. Greatest shooter of all time. Jason Kelce, the Eagles center. He was on his podcast with his brother. They were talking about now the commissioner apparently, reportedly, wants to maybe ban the tush push coming up next season, and here is the Eagles center.
Ban it. I really, at this point, I don't care. I'm over the discussion about it, and...
To be fair, it would just be banning, like, the push in the back. You got... Everybody would still be able to run the QB sneak, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's where I'm kind of like, you know, whatever. Just... We were really good at running quarterback sneak before we did the push. I don't think that it's a necessary part for it. It certainly helps. There's no question about it. But I think... listen, I just... I don't have the energy to care about whether it gets banned or not.
Okay. It feels like, but here's the thing. Nobody else can do it as well as they can. And there's a reason. They have a very, very good offensive line. And your quarterback has unbelievable lower body strength. How many other teams are capable of doing this? They do it. They're really successful. And it's almost like the extra point before they moved it. It's like it's automatic, and people have. So, can you do quarterback sneaks? I just can't push you from behind. If we do this, could they still accomplish the brotherly shove without somebody behind Jalen Hurts? I'm guessing they probably could. Just guessing, but I do think it's a football move. I think it's the ultimate football move. I'm telling you exactly what I'm going to do. Try to stop it. It's tug of war. Stop us. You can't. Okay? That's an advantage for us. But that's the only team. I don't know anybody else where they go, man, they're automatic when they do that. But it feels like the commissioner. And plus, keep this in mind, there's somebody from the Cowboys and the Giants in the same division with the Eagles who are on the competition committee. Could that factor in that they vote against the tush push? Perhaps. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
1939, Lou Gehrig elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame.
Overrated.
Whoa, too soon, Dan. The blowback. He was the first player to not have to wait a year to be retired to be elected in the Hall of Fame. They waiver because of his health issues. 1963, CBS invented instant replay, first ever used during the Army-Navy football game. Mm-hmm. And this, you'll like this, Dan. This is for tomorrow. 1986, Huey Lewis and the News sang the national anthem a cappella before a Niners-Jets football game at Candlestick.
Okay. Headline of off tonight's game. Headline tomorrow off tonight's game. Todd, I'll start with you.
Backups make us back out. Lowest ratings in years.
I don't know if we need the voice. Seton O'Connor.
I think the headline is going to be hot seat related.
Okay.
Maybe it's a whose seat is hotter.
Okay. Marvin, tomorrow's headline today.
Bailed out. Patriots pull out a close one.
Okay, Paulie.
Amazon asked NFL if they could flex future Thursday night games.
Zappity doodah day.
Okay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
You're pleased with yourself on that one. Look at your little face. A little bit.
Yeah. Look at little Danny Patrick. So
happy. A little bit. Look at Danny's face. Good for you.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. Still got it.
I love Zappity Doodah.
Yeah, thank you.
10-6 New England.
Todd, stay the hell out of my neighborhood here.
And the San Francisco Giants are going to get Shohei.
No,
I think you said it, too.
I just crushed.
Did you predict Shohei for San Francisco Giants?
Damn. Not even 2 minutes.
Let it linger.
Let it linger.
Did you have to?
Let it linger.
She was great, wasn't she?
Yeah. All right.
I'm such a fool for you.
No. Turn off his microphone. He's done. Forever. Seton, what did you learn today?
I don't know.
Marvin, what did you learn today?
Seton's taking one for the team tonight.
Tonight?
Watching Patriots.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's going to watch Steelers. The entire game.
I got it. You guys take the night off.
Todd, I'll handle this crap. Okay, don't give me mopey dick there. What did you learn?
Peter King says Panthers owner David Tepper is like George Steinbrenner without the winning. He's a disaster.
Okay. Paul, what'd you learn today?
Every day I think Ohtani's going to a different team.
Right. Todd, what did I learn today?
MLB Nets' John Marcy believes the final group will have a good shot at Shohei will be the Dodgers, Blue Jays, Giants, Cubs, or he stays in Anaheim.
What we learned brought to you by Kings Hawaiian. Slide into the weekend with a Slider Sunday. Make every Sunday a Slider Sunday. Gambling podcast later today with Shea and Irving, Bad Larry, Dylan the Graphics Guy, available at danpatrick.com. Also, sign up for the newsletter. And if you go to danpatrick.com, Peppermint Moonshine is available. And it's first come, first serve. When it's out, it's out. Thanks for joining us. It's our pleasure to serve you. For everybody, including Todd, Seton, Marv, Paulie, yours truly. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Meet Friday.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.